Nice to see you all here again, and welcome back to day three of this six-day series in which we are investigating together the nature of the truth of what is, and more specifically today, the nature of what Krishnamurti called the process that took place within him over time, which, as we said previously, is a transformative process, as well as an unveiling process or an awakening process, which is a process of clarification within one's own being, much like water clarifies over time, but also sometimes not. It can go either way. But in all cases, it goes one way or the other. It can either sprout, blossom, and flower, or wither on the vine, as the ancient saying goes. But whichever is the case, it's always a movement, a flow, one way or the other. The water either becomes muddier or it clarifies over time. It never stays the same. And the water in this metaphor is the mind-body organism that we typically refer to as you and me. So, as we also said previously, not even one as highly enlightened as Krishnamurti was in a constant state of transformative pure presence, because the unfolding of life and the unfolding of truth is a process that we all go through to one degree or another. No one is immune from this process, and no one is without dis-ease at one time or another as the process unfolds. In looking at your own circumstance from the standpoint of memory, can you see that this is so? Are you now in a state of intense pure presence as these words are being spoken? And if so, has this state of pure presence been the case for time immemorial within the body-mind organism we call you? Our own direct experience informs us that this is not so. The evolution of conscious awareness, which in its purest state is choiceless awareness of this that we truly are in the eternally present now, is a process that clarifies, not only in the present moment, but also over time. In fact, this clarifying movement is likely what led you here today, to see what shows in the eternally present now as we investigate together what pure presence here now truly means. It is the same for JC. We are all here as part of this process, looking for ever greater clarity to come into the foreground of conscious being. If you reflect upon this openly and honestly, you will find that this is so. During the workshop that we held a few months ago, I quoted Terence Gray, known more generally as Wei Wu Wei, when he wrote about the transformational process that we're looking into today in this way. There's a difference between awakening and deliverance. The former is sudden, but the deliverance is gradual. Krishnamurti described deliverance from the false sense of separateness that creates the false sense of a separate self as a process that he both physically and psychologically endured in varying degrees of intensity for more than 50 years, some of which, he said, was simply physical pain that was unique to his particular body-mind organism. But other aspects, he said, were transformational in nature. That was the word he used. As energy increasingly expressed itself more coherently and intelligently within his body-mind organism. And throughout this process, he coincidentally became increasingly aware of the nature of the process that was spontaneously taking place within him. There was no separate entity directing the process. The process was simply occurring of its own accord in the ever-present now. And awareness remained eternally aware throughout, even if Krishnamurti was not fully present and aware at all times. Krishnamurti later declared that for clarity to come into being, there must be a transformation, his words, which he also called a radical change in the field, also his words, which with respect to human beings is the energy field that is expressing now as the body-mind organism we typically refer to conceptually as you and me. In saying this, Krishnamurti was rightly acknowledging that transformation occurs in the field, not in awareness of the field. Awareness does not transform. The field transforms. Eckhart Tolle refers to the human energy field as the pain body, because this field is where pain, both physical and psychological, is experienced. Awareness, however, of that which is experienced in the pain body remains eternally unaffected and aware, regardless of transformational processes occurring in the eternally present now in the field. Recognition of this fact, of this ongoing transformative process from the standpoint of pure awareness and not from the standpoint of mind, is the key that opens the door to ever greater clarity. And ever greater clarity comes into being as the body-mind organism transforms. And throughout this process, pain that is experienced in the body, both physical and psychological, increases and diminishes in intensity as well, as the transformational process rhythmically occurs, like breathing in and breathing out within the body-mind organism of human beings. Later in life, Krishnamurti also said that the intensity, depth, and length of time that it took for the process to cleanse his consciousness, again, those are his words, not mine, was unique to him, and that others would not likely experience the degree of pain and suffering that he went through as the transformative process plays out within you and me. So what does this all mean? The transformation of one's being from the ongoing experience and feeling of a self-centered entity that develops over time, from childhood to maturity, to a sense of renewal and inner freedom, as well as enlightenment, from the false sense of a separate entity that evolves over time, to the spontaneous unveiling of the truth of what is that uniquely occurs within humankind. Here's some of what Krishnamurti had to say about this process that occurs within most of us to one degree or another over time, some more, some less, and some not much at all. While the process is an equal opportunity employer, not everyone is employed. This is Krishnamurti speaking now. Self-knowledge is a process, not an end in itself. And to truly know oneself, one must be aware of oneself in action, in relationship. You discover the truth of yourself, not in isolation, not in withdrawal, like a monk meditating in a cave, but in relationship to society, to your husband or wife, to your brother, to your fellow man. It is to discover how you react in every situation. What is your response? To see the truth of life in every moment requires an extraordinary alertness of mind and keenness of perception in every situation. If you watch your mind at work, you will see that the movement to the past and to the future is a process that involves the mind in which the present is not. Either the past is a means of escape from the present, which may be unpleasant in this moment, or the future is a hope of things to come that is not in the present moment. So the mind is always occupied with the past or the future while ignoring the present. The more you respond according to your conditioning from your beliefs or the past, the more there is a strengthening of the past. That strengthening of the past creates its own continuity of itself, which it then projects into the future. So this is the state of our mind, of our consciousness, like a pendulum swinging backwards and forward between the past and the future. So is it possible to be aware of the psychological process that creates inner tension and conflict? You do not condemn a bird in flight. You observe it in flight. You see the beauty of it in flight. But when you consider your own inner strife, you condemn it or justify it. You are not observing this inner conflict without choice or justification. You are judging what appears even before it appears. To be aware of your thoughts and feelings without identification and without denial is not tedious or painful. But if one is seeking a result, an end to be gained, then conflict is inevitably present. And the tedium of strife begins and continues until it is seen through. The key, it seems, and this is JC speaking now, to the unveiling of living truth within one's being, and for love and peace to be present, which then brings about what Krishnamurti called freedom from the known, is how one approaches the transformational process psychologically. As the many and varied attachments to constructs of mind that reside in the field are systematically revealed. And in that revelation is also systematically disabled and dissolve. Here it is. Here it is. What are you going to do with it? Identify with it? Deny it? React to it? Or allow it to pass through? Is there resistance to the process that is actively taking place within you in the field? Is there denial? Created of mind? Oh, I'm not like that. Or I don't want to be like that. Is there avoidance? Also created of mind? Or is there a witnessing, an allowing, and a letting go as the transformational process, like a flower, unfolds and bends toward the light of pure awareness within? This is how the process is felt when it is allowed to run free. 12 years after his initial awakening, Krishnamurti was asked, how did you come to that state of unity with everything? And he replied, in pertinent part, that my inner awareness was always there, though it took time to feel it more clearly. Feel what? This is me talking again. Feel the presence of pure awareness. It is not a sudden flash. I'm quoting Krishnamurti again. Sorry, I'm going back and forth. But a slow yet constant clarification of something that was always there. This is how Krishnamurti described the clarification process that took place within him over time. 28 years later, Krishnamurti again shared with a colleague that his transformation took place over time when he declared, I was not fully enlightened until 1950, when he was 55 years old. By the way, this is to Robert. This is the quote I was referring to last time we met, when I've got something in the way here. When Krishnamurti said that he was somehow made aware that he was fully enlightened by the time he was 55 years old. I don't know how he became aware of this, but those are his words, not mine, so I repeat them here now. So what does this mean for us more normal folk? Well, Krishnamurti described the process in this way. For most of us, learning means the accumulation of knowledge. We are concerned with psychological learning that we have acquired through the centuries and inherited as tradition, as knowledge, as experience. This we call learning. But I question whether this is learning at all. I'm not talking about learning a skill, a language, a technique. And I'm asking whether the mind ever learns psychologically. The mind is always translating life or new challenges according to what mind has already learned through time, which is the past. But is that true learning? Doesn't learning imply something new? Something that I don't know and am learning anew? If I am merely adding to what I already know, it is no longer learning. Genuine learning is one thing, and acquiring knowledge is another. Learning is continuous, is always new, not a process of addition, not a process in which you gather knowledge and then from that knowledge act. Most of us gather knowledge as memory, as idea, and then store it up as experience, and from there, act. True learning is never accumulative. It is a constant movement in the here and now. You cannot store up learning and then from that storehouse act. That is not learning. Learning about oneself and acquiring knowledge about oneself are two different things. A mind that is acquiring knowledge is not learning. It is gathering information and experience as knowledge, and from the background of that knowledge, acts. This is not really learning, but rather is acquiring. True learning is always in the active present. It has no past. It is only a mind that is not acquiring, but is always open to learning They can understand what makes up this whole entity we call the self or the me. We generally learn through study, through the reading of books, through experience, or by instruction from another. We commit to memory what we should and do not, what we should do and not do, and what we should think and not think, and how we should feel and react according to others. And we store up this knowledge as memory. And our memory then responds to future challenges and demands. But to learn what is real requires a totally different approach. And to learn in this way, you must ignore authority. Otherwise, you will merely be repeating what you have been instructed to say or think. The authority of others prevents learning, denies learning. Learning that is not the accumulation of knowledge and stored in memory. Memory always responds in patterns. There is no freedom when relying on memory. A person who is burdened with knowledge and instructions given by authorities is weighted down by the things one has learned and stored in memory, and therefore one is not free from attachments to the content of mind. We only learn about ourselves when there is no attachment to the past as knowledge. That is when that which is perceived is not translated in terms of the known. I only learn about myself moment to moment. Living in the ever-present now is a movement that has no beginning and no end. If I say I know myself, then learning has come to an end. Learning is never accumulative. It is a constant movement of knowing that has no beginning and no end. Suppose you had never read a book, religious, spiritual, or psychological, and you were moved to find out the meaning and significance of life. How would you go about it? Suppose there were no masters, no religious organizations, no Buddha, no Jesus. So you could only start at the beginning. How would you go about it? This is a profound question, to be sure. You would first need to understand the process of thinking, would you not? And not project yourself into the future by means of thinking, or create a God who pleases you and takes care of you when you're down and out. That would be childish, would it not? And to what end? You're just thinking more. So you would first have to understand the whole process of thinking and how thinking imposes limits on your ability to perceive the whole of life and the truth of life expressing now. A question we might now ask amongst ourselves is, are we recognizing the point being made here? Do you see within yourself what Krishnamurti is pointing to here? Can you restate it in your own words? Can you point to moments of this transformational process that you have witnessed taking place within you?